B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports of Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. Simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, coming to you here from Town Fair Tire Studio in Dorchester. Mike and Tony off today on an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. You have Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for the boys. And we are joined, as we normally are, at 4 o'clock hour on this show, Chris Gasper, WCVB-TV Channel 5. Hey, Chris, you're on time. I can't believe it.
Unbelievable.
I know. I can't believe it either, really.
Given the traffic and the weather, I mean, even I ran in here two minutes after.
I had one of the smoothest rides, believe it or not, I've had in months.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't figure it out. It's so weird. I definitely did not think I was going to be on time, to be honest, and I was. It was such a smooth, easy ride.
See, here's the thing. You know, now that Chris is a big superstar television guy, they actually have to be on the air at a certain specific amount of time. This is not the newspaper world, Chris, where
it's
you true. Operate 24 hours
Matt,
late
it's
with
very
everything.
True.
Don't fool yourself. He got lucky with the traffic.
Yeah, completely.
By the way, Chris Gasper is powered by the commuter rail. If you take the train for your daily commute but aren't going in every day, you need the new 5-day Flex Pass. It gets you 5 discounted 1-day tickets, each good for 24-hour unlimited travel. Learn more at mbta.com/fares and get the 5-day Flex Pass right now. It's available only on the M-Ticket app. There's a few things I'd like to discuss with you, Chris, but I guess the most important one is the new quarterback of the New England Patriots, because you were at the forefront of this thing, writing then in the Boston Globe, that, you know, Patriots should be in on Cam Newton. Cam's the guy. Cam will add flair to this franchise, which we really have never had here. And, you know, like, when free agency started, sure, fine, I could get the case for it, but I, stupidly, had been... I guess I just bought into what was being shoved down I and everybody else's throats here for the last year. No, it's Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham's the best young quarterback this team's ever had. You've never seen a young quarterback look this good in camp. It's Jarrett Stidham. Stidham. Well, lo and behold, they go and sign Cam Newton. And the way that they're pumping him up based on that hype video that they put out from the official team account, by the way.
Yeah, definitely looks like a quarterback competition.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw you tweet that too. It was perfect because it's like, well, there you go, dummies. Oh, well, no, he's here to pump Stidham up. He's going to show Stidham how to run RPOs. No. Get it through your thick skulls. This is your quarterback now. Cam Newton is the quarterback. They're ready to sell jerseys and hype this guy up. And I think, if nothing else, Chris, I like the signing in that it will make them more interesting. But I was surprised by it because I thought it was going to be Stidham. That's what the narrative was. And here we have Cam.
Yeah, you know, I from what I understand and from people that I've spoken to, Belichick stayed in touch with Cam Newton throughout the offseason.
Oh.
There was sort of a constant dialogue going on there, I was told. And they had stayed in touch. So I think that there was more interest there than the Patriots or Belichick let on. And what it really came down to was a month before camp, Cam Newton was still waiting. Maybe somebody would get hurt. Somehow some multi-year deal would magically appear out of nowhere. He realized that wasn't going to happen, and he was willing to do it on Bill's terms. I think if he had been willing to do it on Bill's terms back in, say, April, then I think he would have been there then. And this is what I've said before, and I'll say it again. And the Patriots are very good at this. There's not anything inherently wrong with it. It's just good PR. But I think people a lot of times are too easily fooled by it. They will tell you whoever they have at the time is the best option, when they're really just the best option they have at the time, whether it's a Kembrell Tompkins or a Gary Guyton. Like, they'll talk these guys up to no end, but if somebody better becomes available, they're taking them. You know, because they never, when do you ever hear the team let the narrative go of, or Belichick let the narrative go and grow of, we're short at a certain position?
Yeah, it does.
Never.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, oh, Philip Dorsett's like an undervalued guy. He's not really a number three. Remember those plays he made in the AFC title game against Kansas City? Yeah, like, he's a number two receiver. Like, we're good at receiver. No, they know. They know what those guys are. And I think Stidham's different in that he could certainly develop into something. but they need to see more. And there's nothing wrong with needing to see more. And I like this for Cam Newton and the Patriots. I think this is the perfect match for both sides.
Well, he definitely seems really motivated. You know, and I will say to you and anyone else, like, I think it's great. Like, I think it'll make them more exciting. But just based on the aesthetics and how diesel he looks, like, take that with a grain of salt. When I worked in Atlanta, when the Falcons first got Steven Jackson, he was there. Like, he's the most impressive human being I've ever stood next to in my life. And he was also just kind of washed up, too, like, because he got run into the ground by the St. Louis Rams, and we know what he was when he came here, even post-Falcons. Like, you can look all jacked and diesel, but if you've played too much football or taken too many hits, that's going to show up. But is that where we are with Cam Newton? Because these last couple of years, obviously injury-riddled. He's got a lot to prove. I get that he's motivated. Looks great aesthetically, but how much football does he have left in the tank?
Well, I think we'll see with the injury stuff, but that's what I was about to say and why I think this is such a good match, because I think that the Patriots are at a point where they need to sort of reinvent themselves. They need a new identity. They need to sort of change things a little bit offensively. For so long, the identity was Tom Brady. I think Cam Newton's at a point in his career where he needs to reinvent himself as well. He's still going to be a mobile quarterback, but all the running around and the stuff that he did before, that's just hard to maintain. It's hard to be durable. It's hard to have a lengthy career and play that way. He needs to remake himself a little bit more into a more consistent, reliable, efficient, effective pocket passer. He started that process the last year he was fully healthy in Carolina with Norv Turner. He completed almost 68% of his passes. Those numbers were pretty good. But in order for him to have career longevity, he's going to have to change his game a little bit. It's like a guy who threw 99-100 and now throws 93-94. You have to adjust. That's Cam Newton. 93-94 is still plenty good enough. You can still make a career off that, but it's just not what you were in your heyday, and you have to have something else in your bag. I think it's a good opportunity to, you know, play for Josh McDaniels and develop some other skills and put something else in his bag.
Was this always the plan? I mean, you know, you said Belichick's been in touch with him offseason. You're essentially, you know, reporting that here.
Yep.
Was this always the plan, or were they comfortable with Stidham moving forward into 2020, or did something happen to make them, you know, strike the deal? How do you think that all developed?
I think they still like Stidham. I think that they're not sure what they have in Stidham, but they're sure that they like him. And I think that they would have been relatively comfortable going into the year with him. They certainly were comfortable selling him all offseason to us, right?
That was clear.
Yeah, I mean, they sold. I mean, man, well, what a sell job they did with that kid. Hmm. What about all those workouts he organized all on his own, right?
Oh, yeah,
but then he went to a bunch of weddings, and, like, Brian Hoyer was still working out.
Yeah, so
was that because Stidham told Hoyer, hey, I want you to work out while I'm gone?
Yeah, how much, I guess, of an indictment on Stidham is this move? I know you just say, like, that they were talking this whole time between Belichick and Cam Newton, but did those trips to Texas, the wedding tour, did that piss them off? Did that change the perspective of how they feel about this kid and why they ultimately
I don't know anything about that. I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I just think that they were sort of not fully honest from the jump with the idea of,
well, that I believe,
there's no better option than Stidham. Like, you know, and I would always say this to you, Jim. Is Stidham the guy, or is he just the guy for now?
Yeah.
And he was clearly this offseason just the guy for now, but that doesn't preclude him from being the guy eventually. I think they want to see a little more. And, you know, I think bringing in Cam Newton, I think he is the quarterback equivalent of Darrelle Revis. Here's a guy who was a superstar, absolutely transcendent in the NFL, fell off because of injuries, now needs to rebuild his value, and he comes here, and if he does it and he plays well, it's mutually beneficial. I'm not necessarily sold that Cam Newton is the long-term successor to Tom Brady.
So Stidham was the rebound chick. That's what you're saying. And maybe Cam Newton's still a rebound chick.
I think Cam Newton's the rebound chick.
But the smoking hot version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. I mean, they want to see what they have with Stidham.
Stidham's the one to get the confidence back, and there you go.
It's like a half-truth, right? That, you know, they do like Stidham. That's not a lie. They like him, and they think he could be something. Did they think he was, like, ready to go now? And that, you know, did they feel the same way about him they felt about Garoppolo? Were they ready to move on from Brady? No. And that part of that was because they haven't seen as much of Stidham as they did with Garoppolo. But, you know, if Stidham was the guy, you couldn't be like, well, we're not really sure. And you could sort of tell all along. You know, they were talking him up, but there were, like, no consequences. I think I said this to both you guys all the time. Like, the way he would get talked up was one thing, but then it was always like, oh, you know, you'd always read something that was like, yeah, you know, we'll see, and we need to. It was like, well, hold on a second. Are there consequences here or not? is this guy the guy and it's sink or swim and he's either really good or he's not? Or is it just kind of like, well, if he's good, we're going to say we knew he was the guy all along. If he's bad, then we're going to have like Adam Schefter and Field Yates and other people be like, well, it was all about having flexibility at quarterback so they could find the next guy. That's the way they set it up. Now you have Cam Newton in there, and that buys everybody more time, including Bill Belichick.
How will this work offensively? Will this be Cam being, not forced, but you know, put into this offense that's been run here the last 20 years with Tom Brady, and there'll be minor tweaks, or are they really going to completely shift this thing around, and it's going to be Cam Newton-centric?
I think that they will, obviously. I mean, you have a guy like Cam Newton with that ability. It's just silly not to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll try and take advantage of his skill set, but I think he's going to have to learn how to, you know, run their offense. And I think that's going to be a big part of it, is him learning to run their offense. Ultimately, to answer your question, I think it will be a hybrid. You know, they're going to have to meet somewhere in the middle. Do I think they're just going to jam him into Tom Brady's offense and say, this is what we're doing? No. But do I think they're just going to rip up the whole offense for all the other guys to be in a situation where they can accommodate Cam Newton, kind of like they did for Tim Tebow that one preseason, when the poor third-string guys who were out there trying to get good tape were out there running an offense that looked nothing like their offense because Tebow sucked. I don't think they're going to do that. They're not going to do the Tim Tebow thing for Cam Newton and run an entirely different offense for him.
You talk about consequences, Chris. I mean, and you kind of hit on it there, too. Aren't there consequences for Jarrett Stidham if Cam Newton comes in and you're running a Cam Newton offense? I mean, is that specifically the offense that you'd want to run with Jarrett Stidham? Don't they run the risk of stunting his development? And I think they do. And to me, bringing in Cam Newton, even if it's just for 1 year, tells you that they're not sold on Stidham, because if they truly felt that he was the next guy, right, and maybe in 2021 they don't feel he's ready now, but maybe they feel like he truly is the next guy, I don't think Newton would be here, because if you felt like you just needed a little more time to groom him, wouldn't you just go with Hoyer, run more of a traditional Patriots system or whatever, and bring Stidham up in that system instead of bringing in Cam Newton to totally throw everything to the wayside and completely change everything that they're going to do?
But, Matt, I don't think they're going to completely change everything.
Okay, well, that's fair.
You know, and like the last year...
I think you understand what I'm saying, right?
I do, yeah. I do. But I think the last year Cam Newton was in Carolina, you know, they ran Norv Turner's offense, which is a pro-style offense.
Sure.
Now, what he was running before, when he had Mike Shula was there... And Ken Dorsey was there. You know, that was, you're right, that was more geared towards his skill set as a mobile quarterback. But what he ran with Norv Turner was more of a pro-style offense. And the other thing I'd say is, in terms of stunting Stidham, like, this was the thing that I laughed at the whole offseason. It was like, well, you can't bring in somebody from the outside. Remember, they won't bring in somebody from the outside. They have to learn the whole offense, and Stidham's way ahead. They signed a quarterback on, like, June 28th. A month before training camp.
When does that ever
happen? You know why they did that? Because any quarterback who's played and who started more than 10 games in the NFL, whether it's in their system or not, knows how to play quarterback better than Stidham at this point. Because I just laughed at this idea that one season in the Patriots offense and suddenly Stidham's going to be there, you know, like John Nash, like teaching it to the other people. Stidham doesn't know the offense yet. He can't, because he hasn't been in it long enough.
Yeah.
So simplifying it for Newton actually helps Stidham, because it makes it simpler for him to learn too.
And I fell for the narrative too, that he was the guy. But I just don't understand why, Chris, now there's a certain segment of Patriots fans that still think he is. Again, the Patriots themselves, blue check mark, the team, produced a video after they signed him and put it out screaming in your face, he's the quarterback, and you still have people that are defiant. They're like, no, he's going to compete for the he's the quarterback, dummies. But you're still out there, and I want to hear from you if you want to talk with Chris Gasper, 617-779-0985, an agenda-free Friday. More on Cam Newton. I know you were over at Fenway Park last night too, Chris.
Yeah.
I want to get your thoughts on that and how depressing it all was. That's coming up with Chris Gasper here on Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never
be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Felger and Mads, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Mike and Tony off today. Jim Murray, Matt McCarthy in, and Chris Gasper, Channel 5, joining us here as well for his normal spot. So, a couple extra things on Cam Newton. First, how much of this do you think maybe has to do with Mads calls it an arm race. I refer to it as a hog measuring contest between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Do you think that there's anything to this signing of Cam Newton in that Bill looks down south? Because I think they're both, you know, going to be, they got a fire lit under their cabooses here. Now that they're going their separate ways, it's clear with Tom, who's out there practicing, defying the NFLPA doctors, basically snubbed his nose at COVID-19, putting out the FDR quotes saying you're a puss if you're afraid of it. So
that's exactly what FDR said. Yes, Jim.
Yeah, one of the great orators of our time. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I remember when he got up there and said, "Yeah, you're a pussy if you're afraid of the Nazis." So same with COVID with Brady. But you know, he looks like Brady of old, and he's reinvigorated. He's out there. He's practicing. He's, I think, trying to stick it to Bill. Like, oh, I didn't care about your OTAs and practicing these last few years because I don't think you want me around anymore. Now I'm somewhere else. I got my revenge body going, and I'm ready to stick it to you. Is Bill signing Cam part of that? He looks south, how Brady is acting, and says, like, I got to be better than this at quarterback, the most important position. I need something better. Cam Newton's out there. I'm signing him. I'm going with him instead of Stidham because I'm not going to be 9-7 trying to squeak into the playoffs. Cam Newton gives me a better chance to have a successful 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I think that matters a little bit to Bill, the perception. I mean, I think what's interesting is people always feel like he doesn't care what people think. And to a degree, he doesn't. But he does care about his legacy. He does care about the public perception of it. And I think that's a factor. And I think he's also just a really smart football coach who understands that other than the quarterback position, he has a team that's built to win now. And they have one of the older rosters in the NFL. They have a very strong defense. He has a team that can do some damage if they get really high caliber quarterback play. I mean, and by high caliber, I mean if they get the quarterback play they got from Brady in the playoffs in 2018. Cam Newton can do that, I think, for the most part. So I think he recognizes that and realizes that. And yeah, I do think there is an element of the was it Bill or was it Brady sort of. I always say this, you know, they are jockeying for the highest platform on the medal stand of history. And they're always jockeying for that. You know, no one wants to be the silver medalist of the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah.
And they're constantly jockeying for that higher platform, and that definitely is a part of this.
Nobody wants to be the bassist, Chris. Someone wants to, they always just want to be the front man.
Unnecessary jab at bassist.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The other thing, so, and I think Mike and Tony think I'm a little bit nuts for this, but
okay.
So Cam Newton, hypothetically healthy, as close as he can be to healthy, the rotator cuff, the...
I'm worried more about the shoulder than the foot.
Okay, yeah, we hear that too. Who had that this week? It was, I think it might have been... Doug Gottlieb said he had talked to someone in the NFL that said the shoulder is a real concern. But say that it's not. Rotator cuff's fine. Liz Frank, fine. I say they can't cut him because of two reasons. I think it'd be bad for business because of, you know, the emotionally charged times we're living in. I think there would be people ready to, you know, call sponsors and be like, why are they cutting the first black quarterback that would be starting here since Jacoby Brissett, maybe ever in this, you know, under Belichick? Like, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? The Patriots are racist. And more importantly, in the locker room, you saw all the immediate outpouring of support from guys that matter on this team. Stephon Gilmore, James White, the McCourties, eyeball emojis, sausage emojis. Like, people are pumped Cam Newton's here. I think you have mutiny in the locker room if you cut Cam Newton. If he's, you would have to put out an MRI, Chris, or an X-ray showing, like, see, broken, can't play anymore. He's done. Otherwise, if you just cut him, you can't do it. You can't cut Cam
Newton. Well, I mean, here's what I would say. Like, if Stidham's amazing in practice and beats him out, or if Newton's struggling on the field and they're not winning games and Stidham comes in and leads him to a victory, then it's different. Because now it's about the result on the field, and everybody ultimately will bow down to that. And look, we've said, how many times have we said this about a player with Bell? You know, you can't cut Lauri Malloy.
Oh, well, he clearly doesn't care. If anyone's going to
Can't trade Deion Branch.
Right. Yeah.
Can't trade Logan Mankins. So as long as they win,
Tom Brady
they'll
walk.
Be fine. But what has to happen there is that Stidham has to seize the job. You know, he has
you
to be ready.
You think people will buy that narrative, though? Even if we, because we're not going to be able to see it, right? We can't go to camp, can't really cover it. I just think, I don't know. I don't think you can cut him. Like, I don't.
But when? You mean like training camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be, he would have to be really hurt or really bad, and Stidham would have to be, I think pretty much, again, the way it was presented to me is expect Newton to be the starter, and, you know, Belichick's going to say that there's a competition, but it's really a nominal competition, because no matter how you shake, it's like, you know, McCarthy gets this, when a team comes out of spring training, they're not always going with the best roster. They're going with the roster that gives them maximum flexibility. So it's like, oh, this reliever still has two options. He's better than this veteran, but this veteran has no options. So we're going to have this guy on the roster, the veteran with no options, and we're going to send the kid down. It's sort of like that. You can start with Newton. You start with him. If it doesn't work after four or five games, then you cut him and you go to Stidham. It's hard to go the other way around because Cam Newton is not sticking around to back up anybody, and he's not sticking around to back up Jared Stidham.
Right. Is that concern you have for his shoulder informed concern, or just having watched him?
No, just having watched. And I think a lot of people have forgotten, probably not you, Jim, because you watch like every NFL game, but do you remember that three times that year Taylor Heinicke had to come in and throw Hail Marys for him?
Oh, right, yeah.
Like he didn't have the arm strength to throw Hail Marys, and so they had to have the backup come in and throw the Hail Marys for him. So that's not good. That shoulder was operated on back-to-back off seasons.
Even little like outlet passes were ending up in the dirt and stuff. Like he just looked cooked.
And that's one of his best strengths too. I mean, his arm strength is one of the things he truly has going for him as a quarterback.
It is. That's one of the reasons though that if that arm strength is permanently diminished, I don't think there's a better place he could come to than the Patriots because they create easier throws for their quarterbacks. Right. And Josh McDaniels made Kyle Orton look amazing. He made Matt Castle, who turned out to be actually a good quarterback, went to a Pro Bowl, took another team to the postseason. But I covered that 2018, and my joke always was, if they did the NFL yearbook video, they'd call it sideways, because that's how many wide receiver screens Matt threw that year. So if there's any offensive coordinator who is very good and very adept at disguising a lack of arm strength for a quarterback and building an offense around that, being able to disguise that, it's Josh McDaniels.
All right, to the phones we go here in an agenda-free Friday. You want to talk with Chris Gasper at Channel 5, 617-779-0985. Andrew in Orange on Jared Stidham. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the whole pumping up of Jared Stidham, everybody was talking about it, you know, making him look like the heir apparent to Tom Brady and trying to make everybody forget about Tom Brady. But I always kind of, no, I'm not a Patriots fan either, so just outside looking in, always kind of looked at it as them saying, well, I know that we had the next guy in Garoppolo. He was just in the Super Bowl. But look at this guy we found in the fourth round. I know we got rid of Jimmy G for cheap. We could have gotten two firsts, three firsts, whatever it was being reported. But look at who we have now. Fourth round pick. He's going to be the guy. And now the brakes are being put on because Cam Newton's here, and it almost feels like they're frauds for doing it.
Well, what about, and Andrew, thanks for the call, but what about Chris? Because you can make the counter of, for those that still think that they believe in Stidham, Stidham's going to be the guy, Cam Newton can work with him. There is the Auburn-Gus Malzahn connection. Mm-hmm. Does that factor in somehow? In terms of what they can do offensively, that they can kind of get on the same page with McDaniels and Cam Newton and with Stidham.
Yeah, I mean, that would make some sense. There's no question about that. I mean, the way it was presented to me was that this was a unique opportunity with Cam Newton. You know, they wouldn't have done this for just any player. And Bills always like Cam Newton. We know Cam's 2-0 against the Patriots. He's completed like 70-something percent of his passes. I mean, he's lit it up against them. Also, what factored into this was that the Patriots knew that this was not an ideal offseason for Jared Stidham. Not being able to get on the field, not having a normal offseason with the virtual offseason. Now Stidham gets another year to develop, and that was a factor as well for them. You know, if Stidham is the guy, and Stidham's the guy you want to take credit for, and as the caller said, oh, look, we found another quarterback in the fourth round. Well, you don't want to throw the guy out there prematurely and he fails because he doesn't have an offseason. That doesn't work for him, and it makes you look bad. If you can buy another year to groom him and then sort of turn around and be like, look what we found in the fourth round. That's a win.
Oh, I know another thing that Cam Newton related I wanted to throw by, because I don't necessarily think he would be here long term, even if he has a phenomenal season.
I agree.
It's like he comes here, it's like Moss and Revis, they refine themselves.
I agree.
I think they're going to use themselves for a season. But say it's really successful and it looks good and the offense is different and it plays to his strengths. You see how the league is going. It's more playing on the athleticism of these mobile quarterbacks. Could this be greasing the skids for them to get someone younger that can do those same kind of things. Maybe it was Baker Mayfield, who I think is on thin ice in Cleveland. And it's, this year is very important with him in the air. He could be out. I know Deshaun Watson's option got picked up, but Bill O'Brien's a boob. You could probably get him for a bag of magic beans and a fifth rounder.
Dak Prescott.
The long way of saying is, could they just be setting something up to be able to do the same kind of things with a younger quarterback who doesn't have the injury history going forward?
Maybe, but I think they'd be more likely to do that through the draft. I think that they like and prize the flexibility of having a team that's built with a quarterback with a low cap number. They like that. I think it's intriguing to them.
So even with the $100 million they have in cap space next year, like, they would never pay.
I'm not going to say never. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers, and we saw what happened with them drafting Jordan Love. If Aaron Rodgers is out there, I think Bill's, like, tripping over himself to get Aaron Rodgers. He loves himself some Aaron Rodgers.
A quote from a couple of years ago. Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. But you know, some of the guys that, for example, I like Dak Prescott a lot. Do I see them shelling out $30 million for Dak Prescott? No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, either way, I just would think it's going to be a one-year thing.
It could be, too. Like, they would maybe, give him the franchise tag and then sort of, do what they did with Revis where, okay, we're going to do this deal, but the second year's, like, fake. It's just, like, on paper. It's, like, automatically voids. So we can just take your franchise number and for salary cap purposes split it over 2 years. I could see something like that, but do I think he'll be here for 4 or 5 years? No, but he's everything the Patriots want. He's motivated. They like his football intellect. X's and O's IQ, they feel that's high. He has a passion for the game, and he's cheap. Yeah. That's exactly what they want in a player.
Well, what I really want to know more than anything else with Cam Newton and the Patriots, Chris, is seeing as the media access will be minimal to none, how ripped off do you feel that you won't be able to ask him for fashion tips? Because I know deep down you would want to. Like, where'd you get that hat? Where'd you get that scarf? Do you think I would be able to pull off a babushka? Like, that's really the most interesting thing.
I'm not a hat guy. I have to be honest. I'm not.
He could talk you into a fancy hat with
so?
A feather coming
a
out
chapeau?
Of it. No question. Oh, yeah. If he put one of his on you and be like, "You're looking fly, man." Like, you'd be like, "All right, I'm sold."
You should try it. Try it, Chris.
Can I tell you just as a quick aside? I know we have to go to break, and I won't name the Patriots player, but one of my favorite moments covering the team was one time I walked in with this, like, members only looking sort of Ted Baker jacket with epaulettes on it. And the player was like, "Hey, man, I like that jacket. Where'd you get that jacket?" And I was like, "This is great. I have a professional athlete asking me for style tips. Oh, this is fantastic."
Chris's best day on the job.
It probably was.
All right, he was over at Fenway Park last night, too. And again, I wanted to get, the feel of the room and how depressing that all was. Coming up next with Chris Gasper, Channel 5, Rad for the Sports Hub headlines here with Matt McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. Simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Mike and Tony off today. Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for the boys, and Chris Gasper alongside for his 4 o'clock spot here on this show every single Friday. So, Chris, I noticed yesterday, all of a sudden, I was like, "Yeah, you've been more active on Twitter as it is, the sewer that is Twitter." But I was like, "Oh, this isn't just Chris just popping off about whatever. He's actually doing some work." You were over at Fenway Park for the first intra-squad scrimmage.
Yes,
tweeting about such players I've never heard of, like John Andreoli and the immortal Jet Bandy.
Jet Bandy, yes. Yeah.
Who? Yeah, and that who coming from the coach, the host of Hardcore Baseball, the podcast on 98.5 of Sports Hub. So hard. Again, there's hardcore. How Matt talks about it is hustler. And then it's an extreme with Jet Bandy. It's like Nugget. Like, there's certain things you don't want to see.
And there are certain things that we can't get this hardcore, not at least until the safe harbor at 10 o'clock tonight.
So
FCC bans that stuff.
Chris Gasper, give me your take on the Red Sox right now. And how was the overall feel at a mostly empty Fenway Park yesterday? Was it extremely depressing?
It wasn't extremely depressing, but it was very odd. It was eerily quiet. The players even talked about it. And I think that, baseball's a slower paced game. But when you don't have that constant buzz of the crowd in the background, you realize that not only is it a slower pace, but it's even more boring than you thought.
I can't defend my sport. Please continue, Chris.
Yeah, so
I have nothing else to say.
I know they had a scrimmage, another one today, and I wasn't over there today. I know Renicky said they were going to try and pump in some crowd noise like they do in the KBO, and I think they're also doing that over in Japan as well. But, you know, it was nice to see guys out on the field at Fenway Park, and it was an interesting scrimmage. I mean, it's nothing like baseball. I'm glad they're playing these exhibition games. It's nothing like a real game. I mean, the lineups were completely jumbled. You have, like, J.D. Martinez batting for both teams. At one point, there was one outfielder out there, Kevin Pillar. So it's not the same thing. They need to get some exhibition games in. That will be good. How do I feel about the Red Sox? I think the 60-game season benefits them.
Of course it does.
Matt, because I think their biggest weakness is pitching, particularly starting pitching. And I think that is mitigated when you only have to go 60 games.
Yeah, the best way to describe their pitching staff, I think, is abject ass. I mean, it is it is horrible. It's the worst pitching staff I can think of in my lifetime. I mean, we're talking about 30-plus years. You know, I don't think the Red Sox have had a pitching staff that is this bad. But I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. I mean, when you're talking about 60 games, you can hide bad pitching in a short sample size in baseball if you can hit. And the Red Sox can hit. They still can hit. I mean, that is a good lineup they're going to be turning out there. Like, I know people mock, like, who's this Jose Peraza guy? He's going to be a good player for them.
Yeah.
Like, they've got a deep lineup 1 through 8, Jackie Bradley Jr. not counting. Like, that's a good lineup. Their pitching staff is awful. But over the course of 60 games, you might be able to hide that. They're going to compete this year. And they don't deserve to compete, but they're going to compete for a stretch. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think they fade down the stretch because I think eventually they do get exposed. But they're going to come out of the gate, and I think they're going to be more competitive than people think.
What do you make of the sport as a whole, Chris? There's been a lot of opt-outs from big-name players, too.
And Posey's a huge one.
Yeah, Buster Posey opts out with the Giants today. He has some concerns with newborns there. No matter what the excuse is, and excuse probably isn't even the right word, like what these guys are uncomfortable with, whether it's COVID concerns, health concerns as a whole. I don't know if you saw the story out of TSN Canada today. The Blue Jays reportedly told their players that if they leave the bubble and anyone finds out, they'll fine them $750,000 and there's potential jail time.
Throw them in jail.
I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Lock them away.
That from Scott Mitchell of TSN. Not the former quarterback. He tweeted, "Here's what's going to keep the Blue Jays players in their stadium hotel bubble this summer. Per multiple sources, players have been told penalty if seen outside ballpark, $750,000 fine, not 75 grand, basically close to $1 million.
Is that from the organization or is that a fine from the province of Ontario or the Canadian government?
You know, I can't speak to that. Maybe it's more about the government because potential jail time? I didn't know that they were that draconian in Canada. They were mostly nice people, but still. If you see this as a player, wouldn't you say screw? Like, are you surprised by these opt-outs from named players? Do you even think that this thing, even if they start it, gets completed?
You know, I have some real questions about it getting completed, but I would say this. When you look at it right now and what's happening with the MLS's back tournament in Orlando, some of the trepidation being expressed by NBA players down there, and I don't mean just about the quality of their hotel rooms. I feel you guys.
That food, too. Like, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel you, Enes Kanter.
Yeah. I think that MLB might actually be in a better position now traveling than being in a bubble to finish it, but I just don't know. Given what's going on in the country with coronavirus, I don't know if they're going to be able to finish it. I also think a larger question here, and I'm going to be a little bit flip and snarky, is if they don't finish it, does anybody care? I can't think of another sport that was more damaged by this than baseball. I think a lot of people learn to live without baseball. You know, and I've had a good time this week being over there. It's great to be at Fenway. There is something about the field and the ball and all that other stuff, but I don't know if people are going to fall right back into that habit of watching baseball, listening to baseball, having it on all the time that they had before, because you sort of have this time period where you're doing other stuff and you live without it. And I'll say this, and I don't want to pick on any one player, so I won't mention the name, but during that game yesterday, there was one reliever who came in, and this is an intra-squad scrimmage, and it was like, oh my God, just throw the ball. Like, I mean, there's nothing on the line.
Oh, it was that same kind of huff.
Yeah, and it's like, God, I mean, and media members are looking at each other, talking. I mean, everybody's waiting for that game to end, and the Red Sox wanted to end too because it was sort of the end of their day. and you're out there and you're like, what is happening here? Jesus. Like, you gotta speed this up. So I just think if there's no crowd there, there's no noise and you're watching it and that's going on, like people are gonna have a harder time, I think, following it.
Well, and McTakey's opening take today too is that the Red Sox, the most Red Sox way possible, have pushed their game times to start at 7:30. Like, yeah. If you're trying to get young eyes and younger fans and their eyes on the sport, okay, great. You know, a kid's school vacation, kids will be home God knows when. But they still have bedtimes. So is like a 10-year-old kid that's interested in baseball going to stay up to see the end of a game that starts at 7:30? No.
It's a 29-year-old who's interested in baseball or a 59-year-old right. or an 89-year-old who's interested in baseball going to stay up until God knows when these interminable, boring games finally get done. You're going to stay up till 11:30 or midnight with these 7:30 starts? No way. The sport can't get out of its own way. And start times, taking forever. This sport can't figure it out.
A lot of what they're doing just seems counterproductive, and that's not even getting to the fact that some of these teams, like the A's, Chris, showed up this week that couldn't get tests or got tested and then couldn't get the results. And then I said, you know, given that you had 5 or 6 MLB owners that didn't want to even have a season, I'm not the biggest conspiracy theorist, but I wouldn't blame any of these guys for looking around being like, well, wait a minute. You said that the testing was going to be thorough. We could easily get it. It wouldn't be an issue. And I either can't get tested or can't get the results until days later. I mean, like, what is going on here?
They did have some hiccups with the testing. And I know, like, Chris Bryant came out and was saying that, you know, guys were really concerned about the hiccups they had with the testing. But overall, when you look at the testing results that they released today on the intake testing, I mean, it was very low in terms of, you know, who tested positive for COVID. So I think that was a good sign for baseball, just how low the overall testing was with the intake testing. You know, 1.8%, 3,748 people, 66 positives, 58 of those were players. And then the total numbers, they had 83 positive tests among 11,149 samples since June 27th. That's 0.7%. And among the 83 positives, again, 71 are players. So 71 players have tested positive since June 27th. That's better than I expected. So that's good news, I think, for Major League Baseball. And certain franchises, I know the Red Sox guys haven't been over there. They've been really impressed with what the Red Sox have done. They've sung the praises of the Red Sox. Yesterday, Evaldi was saying, we have everything we need. There's hand sanitizer in the dugout. There's wipes. We're masked. We have all the PPE we need. So I think some franchises have handled it better than others. The Red Sox are one of the franchises handling it very well, judging by the way their players are reacting to the summer camp
so far. The luxury boxes, the locker rooms.
Yeah, they love that.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, they love that.
Great idea.
Yeah. So
those are better than my apartment.
Yeah, I know.
We have one segment to go with Chris Gasper. If you want to join us, we have one open the phone line here on an agenda-free Friday, 617-779-0985. We've got to some of your calls coming up next, and I want to get Chris some quick thoughts on the Patrick Mahomes deal from you as well. We'll get to that coming up here on agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Little Hollywood Nights from Bob Seger on 98.5 The Rock Hub.
Still one of the best concerts I've seen.
Can't help myself. Music DJ in me is still in there.
It'll never go away, Jim.
No, I know.
And when you're spinning country tracks 20 years from now, you'll just be able to call right back to that.
Lord knows. Like that.
I'll need that when my career truly hits the skids. It's Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings. Jim Murray, Matt McCarthy in for Mike and Tony. Chris Gasper along for one more segment. Yeah, I will need that when the time comes that I've been kicked to the curb yet again. And what's left but old country music for the kid here. Oh, that'll be a dark time.
But you like those songs, though, and it would be easy. Oh, you could just introduce them all the same.
Every single one is the same, Chris. We like, got my dog in this dumb truck, gonna take this blonde, and we're gonna woo. You know, like that. It's every single one of those songs. Drinking blondes, dogs, down
blue
by
eyes.
The beach.
Don't forget blue eyes.
Right. Yeah, blue eyes, though. Yeah,
and fishing.
And the flag. Like, it's every all once in the a while. Same. Just mix it up. You know, it's like Mad Libs.
Mad Libs, yeah. it's like musical Mad Libs.
That's what's country music is.
But I know, like on Spotify, you stream Florida Georgia Line. I know you do.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
Yeah, I can just picture you streaming Florida Georgia Line, you know, like you won't be able to do it because they're not playing. But if like the Hawks were playing, you're watching your Hawks streaming Florida Georgia Line. That sounds like a Jim Murray kind of night.
I'll tell you what's a real kick in the crotch with that particular band, who has no discernible talent whatsoever.
Correct.
I mean, they're just good looking. Again, they play the Mad Libs. They do those songs. It's all the same song time and time again. But it's just proof of what a dumb country we are, is that those guys have made enough money that they own bars, plural, down in Nashville. You go to Nashville and you're like, wait a minute, they're big enough that they have their own places?
Like on Broadway?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to drink and listen to Florida Georgia Line while inside of Florida Georgia Line.
See, Chris, I promised that we were going to make Jim break down today. We're getting closer.
No, this has helped. Again, being on the air, it's a therapeutic thing, exercise.
That's
so,
good.
Yeah, no, I feel better than I
good.
Did.
Good. So you'll come in a good mood tomorrow, then.
Hungover. I will be going out tonight, so we'll see. Good luck tomorrow.
All right. It's always a roll of the dice.
Well, let's squeeze in a couple of calls before we go, and then I want to get your about a minute on the Patrick Mahomes deal from you before you go. Dennis in Rhode Island. You're next here on Phil Grand Max. Hey, Dennis.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing? So there's something interesting that I don't know if people remember or have yet to bring up, was that during the period where the Panthers, a head coach, Josh McDaniels, was a candidate. But if I recall, one of his stipulations was that he didn't want to be there if Cam Newton was still going to be the quarterback. I just think that's interesting. I think it's something to watch out for. And I wonder if this was another situation where Belichick kind of pulled the rug out from underneath Josh like he did with the head coaching job in New York.
He is right to say that McDaniels was up for that gig with the Panthers that ended up going to
Matt Rhule,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't remember ever reading anything about that. But
I don't either, but I think they were moving on from Newton no matter what.
Yeah.
And just to tie it back to Newton for a second, one of the things that was expressed to me is that one of the reasons Cam Newton lingered out there so long this offseason was because of coronavirus, because teams couldn't get him in for a physical. And in a normal offseason, that probably would have made a difference, because one of the biggest questions about him, obviously, is health.
Mike in Waltham with another Patriots Thought. You're next up on an Agenda-Free Friday on Phil Grand Max. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Great show. Quick question. Two-part. Cam Newton, we're all talking if Cam Newton, but let's say he is a lock. What are the thoughts beyond that? We have, let's talk roster spot-wise in regards to the quarterback. Are we going to have three quarterback system, and with Sony out because of surgery, is Damien going to step up, and are we going to kind of have an extra roster spot, the tight end or defense, and basically three quarterbacks? What are we thinking?
Well, I'll tell you, in terms of concerns, I mean, if Cam Newton's going to work here, and not only does he have to be healthy, Chris, I think the offensive line needs to be healthy. I would like to see Damian Harris see the field more than he did, than the all of six snaps I think he got last year against the Jets. I still have injury concerns about the offensive line, but if they're fine, I think they'll be great and close to what they were in 2018, the year that they last won the championship. I still think they're a little thin at wide receiver, and I haven't read the article yet, but I saw the tweet from Tom Karen, NBC Sports Boston, saying that they should be in on David Njoku, who was looking to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. So you add him at tight end, I would be into that. I think that they're thin-ish in a couple of areas, specifically on offense, wide receiver. I think they could use another tight end.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted the two rookies, Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keene. It certainly would help to have a guy with some experience, and if it's a buy-low situation, that would make sense. They're certainly stacked at running back, and boy, did I learn the hard way. Nobody stands for a third-string running back like Patriots fans. So, you know, I had my Rex Burkhead comments, and
Did you step into it with that?
People were coming for me. It was interesting. I can't believe a guy that's never rushed for 345 yards in a season is that beloved. But you know,
I don't get it with that guy. Who does he have pictures of? He's not that great. He's always injured. I guess maybe he's the consummate professional. He takes the pay cut so he can stick around. But like, He's just meh. He's been meh since he got here. Boy, you got blood to death on
him. Oh, yeah.
Even
really
by fellow media members. It was like media on media crowd.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
How dare you sully the name of Rex
I know.
Burkhead.
I mean, even though they literally could have handed it off to anybody from Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis to Jonas Gray in that AFC title game, and they would have scored, you know, it would have been fine. I'm not saying the guy stinks. I mean, I just don't really, you know, again, they have two young running backs that you probably want to see something from, and then you have obviously the best third down back in the game. I guess my thing with him, and we'll get into this more tomorrow, is just the idea, like people say, oh, he does all these different things, but he's not the best at anything. Like they have guys who are better at running the football, guys who are better at catching the football, and guys who are better on special teams that play his position. Because Brandon Bolden is better on special teams than
he
is. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of don't, as I said, what's the fascination with this guy? I don't get it. It's like they have to keep him. It's like, do you? Do you really have to keep him?
Can you give me a quick minute on the Mahomes deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously he wanted to sort of set the market. I think it's going to be really, really interesting in terms of how it ends up at the end of the day. You know how I feel. It's not the money. It's the length. Like, length of contract. And at some point, it being the NFL, it's not guaranteed they can get out of it. But I remember when Dustin Pedroia signed his, like, 8-year deal. And I remember being on Felger and Maz and saying, like, there's, like, no one in sports I would sign to an 8-year deal.
And I'll tell you, that's also a great saying if you want to hear, if you're a well-endowed fellow with a bad job, it's not the money, it's the length. You want to find a woman that says that same thing to you. I hear you, Chris. Tomorrow morning, Chris and myself on these airwaves, 98.5 of Sports Hub, starting at 10 a.m. We will be here for you, the people. Chris, enjoy your evening. Until then, I will see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right, Chris Gaspar, also catch him on WCVB Channel 5 as well. 1 hour to go here on an agenda-free Friday. You want to join us, got a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. No commercials here, just Matt McCarthy with the headlines, and then back with you here on agenda-free Friday on Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.